We respectfully acknowledge the past, present, and emerging traditional owners of the land of the Indigenous people, the traditional custodians of the land where this podcast is recorded, and pay respects to their culture and identity, which has been bound up with the land and sea for generations.
Welcome to another episode of Yarns and Vibes. It's your girl, Dami, and the last two episodes... I don't know what's funny. That wasn't a joke, but anyways. The last two episodes, I was away on a trip.
Tell us about the trip, though.
And I'll do a life update, but we'll just go around the room.
I don't even know what we said about.
As in, you know what's funny, right?
So I'm still doing the introduction. You get your time.
We all listening, but Dami said she because she wasn't there, she didn't listen.
Yeah, take note. Put that down somewhere so you don't forget. We'll come back to you. All right, so we'll go around.
You're on the say, oh, the law. You don't go scot-free.
We'll go around the room. Well, just a heads up for those who are joining. If this is your first time joining us on Yarns and Vibe, you're absolutely welcome. This is not how we normally are.
It is.
We're
it
a
is.
Bunch of composed human beings.
It is.
But I'll let the rest of the guys right now introduce themselves. But my name is Dami. The voice you heard in the background is someone that doesn't like to be introduced. But yeah, we'll go around the room really quickly just to introduce ourselves, and then we'll do a life update before we get into today's topic, which I think is absolutely fun, so don't go anywhere. All right, so I'm going from the end of the room.
Yeah, you already know it's Buddy Vicky, Billy K, the sexy black tiger. Thanks for always listening, guys. And
are you allowed to say sexy black tiger when you're fasting?
Dami is such a diva, my goodness. Oh my god.
Okay, introduce yourself.
I already did. In case you
pass the mic.
In case you're not listening, I already did. Dami is such a diva. Kilo D, like what?
Pass the mic.
Honorable speaker, turn off your mic. Honorable speaker.
Yeah.
No. Dami, Dami's been extra today. My goodness.
Hi, everyone. This is Kenny, aka King Kenny Got the Business. AKA Daddy Zach, AKA you know what it do, AKA we here again. So what's going on?
Same old person. No introduction.
Same old.
Yeah, go listen to the previous episode where I probably said the same thing. So you probably have to go all the way back to season one to find out who I am.
But you know the good thing today, like I actually got up and gave Plancy a hug because he was extremely good today. Like, for the first time in a very long time, he was extremely good. And I know you guys would need context, but I can't put it all into context. But
is
he was
good or well behaved?
He was no good. Like, you know, well, it's not even a function of being well behaved. Like, he was very cooperative. He listened. He actually did things without being. It was really good.
Without
so I was
prompting.
Yeah, without no prompting. Like, it was really good. Yeah, so like, I just need to put that out there. It's like it was really good. And I think someone that actually is always the good one was a diva, extreme diva today. I didn't know that was such a diva, but today she showed us that she was an extreme diva. But thank you.
I don't know what the joke is, so I'm not gonna laugh.
Yeah, because I don't know either.
Because you came late, so you wouldn't know.
Anyway,
stop screaming into the listener's ears.
I have no idea what he's talking about. We'll just move on really swiftly.
That means if you go on really swiftly, I would go into details.
Okay, you get your time.
Okay, thank you.
All right. yes, so life updates. You can get your time now with the life update. Life updates, where have we all been? I wasn't here two weeks ago. I was having fun, a well-deserved break. Like, those who know me know that I really deserve a break. So I'm looking forward to more of that in the future.
You deserve it, Dami.
Oh, thank you for acknowledging that. Yeah, so it was really...
This man is like this nigga.
It was a quick break I had to have, and I'm, you know, I really missed recording the podcast, and I missed being with these two people, and I do hope you.
There's three of us though, but anyway, go keep going.
Yeah, but there was one person.
That's okay. So because you've been a diva today.
I did, anyways. Well, that's all. So it's just been all fun and good since then. But I'm really glad to be back on the podcast. You thank you very much. What have you both been up to?
She's trying to be cheeky, but that's okay.
I don't know who that means.
Talking to us.
She keeps saying there's three of us here. Like, in fact, we have a guest.
Exactly. Okay. But that means because that means trying to be cheeky, innit?
Okay. What has happened? I think for me, I'm still trying to prepare for like a certification exam that I'm writing, and I think that's what I've dedicated a lot of my time to doing, just studying for it.
Not How is that going for you?
Yeah, it's going pretty good. Hopefully I should be able to write it maybe by the end of the month, and the exam costs a lot, so
yeah,
that puts you under a lot of pressure, you know.
You need to be well prepared.
Yeah, exactly. You don't want to spend that money.
The exam costs a lot, like you pay a lot of money to get into the
No, to write it.
To write.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like over 1,000. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So that's pretty much my boring life for now. What about the other person that is here? Because apparently one person is a ghost, and I don't know who that
so
is.
Who is the ghost?
No, don't worry.
Who forgot the ghost?
Okay.
Can you tell us how have you been since last time we saw you?
Oh, I've been good. I've been busy. Family. Family, work, you know, social, everything. It's been good. I can't complain. So yeah. I don't have any major update for you guys, but yeah, I'll just say it's been good.
Yeah, same old. I think we started fasting this week. So fasting, I felt sick halfway through, but I didn't stop fasting. I think that was just the major highlight for me, because I'm for the first time in almost 15 to 20 years, I'm actually fasting with my mom, because my mom is here. So yeah, so my fasting has been really chilled. She makes me sari. We pray together and all that. So it's quite an intimate moment for me, and it's something I really treasure, because I haven't had that in a very long time. So yeah. Nah, thank you. We don't need that, but yeah.
That's good.
That was me. Dami, do you want to do the honors, or do you want
I mean, I'm happy to go with the honors of doing the introduction. So we did give a hint at the start of today's episode that we have something lined up for you. And just a quick reminder, this season we are focusing more on, you know, migrant experiences and bridging the gap between second generation migrant and first generation migrant, or second generation and beyond. And we're trying to explore experiences from different perspectives. So if you haven't caught on this season's theme, I reckon just go and listen to the first episode for season 4, and you know, that'll give you a better understanding of what we are doing, our direction for this season. Anyways, I'll stop talking and I'll introduce. We have a guest in-house, and he is a photographer. His name is, I'll let him introduce himself, because I don't like mentioning people's name, but like, can we just give like a clap, a round of applause?
I'm pressing the wrong buttons here.
Oh Lord, no.
All right, we do have a guest in-house.
Oh, I finally got it.
Okay, great. So I'll just do a quick intro. He's a photographer, and he's also the author of a photo book called Let the Boys Play, and he's just gonna chill with us today on the pod. So I'll let him introduce himself first, and then we will just banter and have a chat about his experiences, his inspiration, and all of that fun
his
stuff
journey
that he's got to share. So the mic goes to you.
Hello. Thank you for having me. I don't know what to say, but my name is Hamid, photographer, visual artist, director, everything around that side.
Entrepreneur,
yeah. Very, very important.
Very, very important.
I'm happy to be here. Thank you for having me. I'm the author of the photo book Let the Boys Play. Yeah, so.
Are you really happy?
To be here?
Yeah.
What do you think?
That's a question for you to answer.
Because
what do you think?
Because why do you think she's asking that question though? I just said, as soon as you walked in, we are always like this.
But the reality is, like, what do you think? Am I happy or not?
I think you're happy, though. You look happy.
Anyways, yeah. All right. So let the boys play. I think it's an interesting. I think when I first saw that book, I actually have seen it online. When I first saw it, I thought it was a very interesting title to start with. And I think I was just more curious as anyone would be as to what, how that came about. And what inspired the title of the book, the photo book, to start with? Just like a brief, like quick, you know, this is what inspired me sort of question.
The funny thing is, like, let the boys play was not meant to happen.
Okay, I like this.
It was not meant to happen. So I was in Nigeria like last year, June, July.
Nigeria, similar time.
Yeah. We like maybe a week overlap. Yeah. And then I didn't plan to.
That means crazy.
That means, I told you, bro. I told you. Like, that means just, that I'm telling you. I don't think you should have fed that. I think it's the rice.
That means you did take something.
He was already like, I'm telling you. See, I'm telling you, bro. That was like, I'm hungry, and this guy, I told you, Dimitri was extra good today. Dimitri offered a myriad of things, right? And he's like, will you have chips? Like, no, that's got too much sodium. No, they got too much. I'm like, what? That means being such a diva today. But anyway, sorry, Amit.
But
it's funny, yeah? It's very
funny. But yeah, like, I didn't plan to. I was just there to, like, just chill, maybe do one or two shoots, but I wasn't trying to do too much with it.
Yeah.
And then I was just in front of my house, and I saw this kid's playing soccer like I used to when I was growing up.
Yeah.
And I just remembered, like, that just brought me, like, a nostalgic moment of things that I used to do. And just went back inside, got my camera, took a photos of them, made some videos, just have fun with the kids, right? And that moment right there, I was like, yo, like, as grown-ups, you don't get to do that anymore because you're just worried about, like, all these other things.
Yeah.
So at the time, I hit up my friend Cobbler. I was like, bro, I just shot this kid in the street, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, this is sick, but I don't know what I'm going to do with it. But I was like, I'm going to let the boys play. I just thought that was the thing. I just said, maybe let the boys play. And then, was this going to be like an Instagram photo series?
Yeah.
At the time, the idea behind it was probably going to do, like, you know, the boys that play soccer under the Milan Bridge.
Yeah, so I know that, yeah.
I was gonna go that one again and shoot them.
Yeah.
But obviously, we did not, me and my other friend, DK, he's a videographer in Lagos. We didn't have time to go do that together because we wanted to make videos as well of that.
Yeah.
Same thing as well. But we never had time to do that before I left. So I was like, fuck, okay, whatever. Came back to Australia. I was like, this idea is just like there. I was like, I can't just make this an Instagram thing. Yeah, it's more than that. So just like sat down, brainstorm about a lot of things. And then, but the main idea behind it is like, it's like, because as a photographer or visual artist, right? You have to make your work resonate with people.
Yeah.
You have to like make your work resonate with people. So that way I want to use art to like tell a story about like how people can just resonate with their childhood.
Yeah.
Connect back to it, because as you grow up, you get to lose like in touch with yourself. You have bills, your family. And sometimes boys don't get to like express those feelings anymore.
Boys don't get to play.
Yeah, we don't get to play anymore. Yeah. So that's also one thing. Number two is like also like an avenue to like highlight the importance of mental health among men.
Mm.
So like, because boys don't get to talk about
mental health
anymore. True, sometimes you have to talk about it, at least express it
in
different ways, like just going to play, all of these things. So like in the book, I've got three chapters in there. The first one's about like childhood, that's like presented to me a childhood, like nostalgia. Second one is like youth, like moving to a new country or moving to anywhere new, like having friendship, adolescence, exploring that. And also like the touch of like adulthood, pretty much like you can play alone without people being there with you. So if you look at the third chapter, if anyone has the book, you see like it's basically,
you have to
just one guy riding a bicycle, and it's a lot of blurry moments that shows like, for example, you have a kid, right? Sometimes you just take a break. Your friends might not be there to see you. You just go ride a bicycle. Like a solo moment. You can just play without
anyone else.
Without anyone else.
Just being in that moment.
So it just goes from like childhood to adulthood as well.
Yeah.
So that's the whole idea behind it.
Yeah.
And like there's some other stuff like
that
I want to like highlight as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's the main idea, like nostalgia, getting to play, and also highlighting the potential mental health among men. So pretty much, and it's just not for the boys as well, it's for everybody.
Yeah, like, but I think it's really important.
I use boys I use boys for a particular reason, because that's my story.
Yeah.
I can't relate to menstruation. I can't relate with other things that are not my story.
I feel like, again, I might be wrong, and that means in the room as well, men don't get to highlight mental health a lot. Like, men don't speak about mental health. A lot of things are not centered around mental health. Like, so we don't get to express ourselves. Like, a man will just simply go, look, I'm going through a lot of stress, but I'll be fine. Like, from a Nigerian standpoint, I go deal right. Like, we keep it moving. We don't talk about it a lot. We don't get to express it a lot, you know? So there's a lot of things that goes unsaid for men in the mental health space, because we feel like that's why you see, if the are you okay, you know about it, are you okay, they really emphasize on men talking, because men don't talk about a lot of all these things. Like, I was listening to a podcast yesterday about relationships and mental health, and they go, women, for example, if they go into therapy, right, they would, if the therapist asks them, have you had a chat to someone else about this, they would go, yes, I've talked to my mother, I've talked to my best friend, I've talked to my sister. Whereas men would simply tell you, if I'm in therapy, I'm in therapy maybe because of it's my wife put me to therapy, or if I'm in therapy, I don't want anyone to know I'm in therapy. And then
it was forced to be there.
Yeah, it was forced to be there. And then when I talk, they say, I've probably never told this to anyone before, right? And they start talking. Whereas a woman will tell you, she's had a conversation with her best friend, or with her mother, or with her sister. So men don't talk about mental health very much. So it's really important that you have highlighted this and talked about men. Yeah. And then you said something earlier about Todd Milan Bridge. So, I don't know if anyone, all our listeners, know what Todd Milan Bridge is. Is the second longest bridge in West Africa? I think longest in West Africa, second longest in Africa. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I just want to shed light on that. And again, thank you for actually, you know, talking about mental health in this. I think that would also bring us back to the topic for today: being creatives as migrants in Australia.
Because I think that's like a journey it's a journey of discovery, like, especially if it's the fact that you didn't discover your creativity in Australia. Like, you've always been creative in Nigeria, and maybe you know the system of creativity in Nigeria. You know how to find your way around. Not like you know it perfectly, but you're starting to figure it out. Home. You can always, like, figure it out. And then, like, it feels like when you then move to a new country, you are on a totally different level, where you, first of all, you're trying to settle in the country. And we've had this conversation about, like, you being a temporary migrant, you're still trying to feed, you're trying to hustle. And then you then trying to add on, trying to be creative on top of it is like a lot of work. And, like, I can speak for myself, because, like, I actually quit my job in Nigeria, and I did photography for, like, maybe about 2 years before coming here. I had like maybe two exhibitions before coming here. And then I came here, I thought that I'll be able to, like, actually
hone that talent a bit more. Yeah.
And be able to continue with it. And I couldn't. Like, after a while, like, the way I wanted to, which was like one of the reasons why, like, you and I really clicked, because I was so proud that stuff I couldn't do, like, you were able to, like, break it, and you went into, like, having an exhibition.
That happens a lot. Yeah, that happens a lot.
I was happy that you actually did that. And I was like, man, this is good, because I know how hard it is, because I tried. Like, and which was why, like, I just ended up doing street photography, because then I could just do it at my own pace and at my own ease, because I know how hard it would be. Like, it would be a lot harder if I was trying to be like a full-on photographer in Australia, trying to earn from it and all of that. And I just didn't have the, I'll say, strength for that.
Yeah, it is hard to juxtapose being creative and trying to,
So why did you think you couldn't do it?
And that's something we'll touch on, which is, like, my photography in Nigeria was, I had a community in Nigeria. Like, the shirt I'm wearing right now is one my friend made, Logo, which is Monochrome Lagos. You should check it out, Hamid, if you can. It's like this close to like 10-year series that he was doing on Lagos, where, like, he stripped Lagos of its color and he was just shooting Lagos in black and white, like different scenes, which he then collected and is exhibited, like, all over the world. So I had that. I had, like, other friends that were doing other forms of art. And, like, when I came here, I couldn't really find that, like, artistic community here, which was like a struggle for me, because I was
strange.
Sorry?
It's strange, because I would have thought you get more of, you know, that community here than
you would think
Nigeria.
So, but I couldn't.
At the time it probably came, it's a bit different.
Yeah.
Because, like, even from my experience, the black photographer in Australia, I could, if there's probably a lot of people that have a camera that are black, but if I'm going to talk about people that are black photographers, Sydney, Melbourne, Brisbane, I could probably count them in my head and up to 20.
That's it.
The only person that I probably think it's probably up there, I think at them.
That's
probably the only person I can say like Australian photographer.
Yeah, who is black.
We'll call her visual artist because she does more than photography. Like it's probably her. Yeah. Like maybe Lila, but everybody else, we're just scratching the surface compared to what's been done in Australia.
Exactly.
That's just my opinion though.
So like it was a struggle for me. I couldn't find out and I just decided, okay, I think I'll just do my street photography for a while. And even that, I wasn't getting any satisfaction from it. Anyway, let's just stop. But so like I know how hard it is for you to like come into a new country. You still want to be a creative, especially in like mediums where you have to like deploy something into the world for them to see and critique, and you still need to stay true to why you got into that medium. Because like you might decide that, oh, like maybe this is the kind of photography that is popping in Australia, and then you just go to in that direction. But like if you're a true photographer, there's something you enjoy doing, and deep down you will know that this is not it. And you could sell out as people do, where like you just decide, well, this is popping, so I'm just gonna do it, make my money. But I couldn't do that. So I just like I let it go and I decided I wasn't gonna do this anymore. So like the what we're trying to do in this conversation is like when you move into a new country as a creative or like as art medium creative, especially
as a first gen migrant.
Yeah, first gen migrant. Yeah. Like how do you go about nurturing that your creativity to a point where you can then take it out there and in your own case have an exhibition? In the case of the other people here who speak for themselves, like being able to go out in the public and actually even make some income from that.
Mm.
Because obviously you probably start up not because you want to make income from it, but because you still want to continue that medium of expression. So being able to continue in that medium of expression, being able to find support, because like there are some creatives that are fine being loners, being by themselves. That is what they prefer. And for me, maybe because coming from Nigeria, as I said, I had community. That community and I couldn't really find it here. I wasn't really clicking with anyone like that. So it was kind of hard for me to continue in that medium. So like finding, if you're the type that you need community, how do you find that community? And if you can't find it, how do you continue to ensure that you stick to it, even though that community is not there? So but I'll let you guys go.
As a creative, I was just going to ask a question and maybe touch on what you said and what we said last week as well. As a creative though, do you not believe that it's really important to actually work with the community in that space? Isn't that like, for example, if you've moved to a new space, right? It's not important for you to actually try to meet the community of creatives, of like minds like you in that space? So you know how you were saying something about maybe you want to be a loner, but is that a good strategy to go? What do you reckon?
I don't know. Like, were you going to ask her a question? Maybe I'll start with Amir. I feel like
you can always create your own community as well.
Yeah,
like,
okay.
It's great to, yeah, because like I was going to say something before and then he touched on something about like it was just not clicking. I was going to say something before in the terms of like sometimes you have to understand the business of what you're doing.
Because
at the end of the day, it's someone.
It's like a business.
And every market is different.
Mm.
Personally, from my view, right, if I was going to sell something in Australia, I have to make it seem like, oh, this thing is good. You want to buy it?
Mm.
But Nigeria is like, this thing is good. You guys buy it.
Yeah,
It's two different marketing like,
strategies.
Yeah. Sometimes you kind of have to like understand the market you're in, number one. Or if you're going to go to the route, I want to be alone and do my own thing, you still kind of have to make people feel like, I'm doing my own thing on my own lane, but it's what I'm doing.
Yeah.
One thing that works in Australia from my point of view is like Australians love when people love something from outside. So let's say I know some people that are here that I know one of my friends, he's a music artist, right? He's got a song over a million streams. Here in Australia, nobody knows him, but in Lagos, that song is popping.
Yeah, true that.
He lives in Brisbane too.
So are you saying like Australians vibe with sometimes. You if other people are...
That happens a lot of times.
Yeah. I mean, that was like something I was touching on before you came in about like this whole idea around social proof.
Media, yeah, social proof.
It's not... I feel like it's very much a human thing. I don't know how it is.
But at the same time, what I was trying to get to was like, it's not up to you as a human being to like, okay, what route do I want to go to? Do I want to actually take this in... Like, because everybody can see the way you decide, you know what? I'm done. I'm not doing this anymore. It's up to you. Could I be like, okay, what I'm providing for these people, they're not liking it. Should I just keep doing my thing, thinking of the internet, and just keep serving my people in Lagos and while I leave here? Or should I just make the Australians like me or whenever like I'm doing something, I'm gonna rep Australia, but I'm gonna be like, yeah, Australians don't like me anyway. I'm just gonna rep Australia. It's really up to you as well. So there's different
ways
to look at it.
So
do you know what I mean?
Like, so what worked for
what worked for you?
I'm pretty lucky in the sense that I'll call it luck. When I started photography, it was in Australia, really.
Okay.
So when I came here, the world plan was like uni, whatever, right?
Yeah.
And my idea was like, when I finish uni, if I don't get a job, I'm just going to do what I have to do because I can't be jobless. That's, that's my thing.
Yep.
Right? And then luckily for me, I also met one of my best friends, Ingrid. She's a stylist.
Okay.
So when I met her at the time, I was still in uni. She was thinking of either going to uni for fashion school or going to a fashion school.
Okay.
So we were like, yo, we just kind of clicked and we're like, yo, the industry doesn't care about us, first of all. We're both black people.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever.
That's all right, bro. Like, this is free speech,
bro. We're both black people. And then at the time as well, to backtrack, when I first came to Australia, I was looking at photographers that shoot black people in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
At the time, there was not a lot of, like, there's not been, like, the whole wave of, like, British Vogue, like, any fool shooting black people, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So Australia is still way back behind in that. There was only there was people that were shooting black people. But I was able to find one of my friends called Cobbler. So he's Ghanaian, he moved to Australia, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
He's been shooting black people. He's still not, like, we're working together now, but, like.
So what do you mean shooting black people? Like, exclusively black people?
Not exclusively black people, but there's a way, as a photographer, I probably sure you can relate.
Yeah.
There's a way, when it comes to lighting, we have the light more than white people, right?
Yeah.
So not a lot of white photographers
know how to shoot
black people.
It's very much similar to, like, makeup artists.
Or even when they edit them, the way they edit them is like, I don't know, you just feel like, this is not it, bro. Like, so he was one of the few people that I could find in Australia that could do that. Luckily for me, I met in a barber shop randomly. I was like, you look familiar, I know you. I just look up to him like, yo, this is where I follow you, blah, blah, blah. And then we just became friends from there. But back to the Ingrid stuff, I was talking about it. So we had the thing like, yo, we're just going to work together and just build our portfolio. Because ideally, right, if I'm going to go tell the guy that gives a contract for like a campaign, I can't just say I'm good. I have to show him something. So we decided like, okay, we're going to work on our portfolio together.
Mm-hmm.
I can do a lot of email stuff. I'm good admin, whatever, right? We would work on the portfolios together. And by the time we decided to like do a few photo shoots, email a bunch of agencies. Mm-hmm. Some of them said no. A lot of them said like no.
No.
But we got one that said, yeah, you can shoot our girls and see how it goes. Yeah. The first one, I'm not going to lie, they did not really like. They said, they gave us feedback. They're like, it's all right. We can do this better, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Kind of gives you like a bit of like,
deep.
Yeah,
but like it was, shout out to her, but we were like, okay, no worries, we're just gonna
keep going more.
And then we did this photo shoot with Daniel and Deborah. That one, to me at the time, that's viral. I had like 300 followers, and the inside was like over 1,000 inside. Got on two magazines.
That's good stuff. Yeah.
At that time, and then from there, people like it became a thing at that time, like a month or two. Yeah. Anytime we go out, they'd be like, where's Ingrid? Where's Hamid? Where's Ingrid? Even to now, because everyone knows we're best friends. But like the other guys would be like, oh yeah, where is Daniel? Where's Hamid? Where? Like, it became like a thing. Like, people just kind of knew who we were. And I just built on that. Because my thing was like, okay, you can't just, I was still new to the whole industry.
Yeah.
I learned myself. So I was like, what kind of photographer do you want to do? Because the way I saw it was like, okay, there's nobody for me. But if somebody was to come.
So what do you mean there's nobody for you?
I have no family members here. It's just me.
Oh, fair.
Like, so if some, for example, I would say that if Kanye was to come to Australia right now and I get to meet him and I say, Kanye, I'm a photographer, what can I show him?
Oh, fair. You like Kanye, don't you?
No, at that time, at that time, that was my,
that
was my thinking, like, okay, I'm not, there's racism, there's things that happen, but I don't want to whinge to that point. I want to be, let's say, for example, we whinge enough and like, oh yeah, let's let you shoot our campaign. Let's give you a chance.
Yeah.
And I do nonsense. They're putting money. It's the business end of the day.
Yeah,
so that's
the
way I kind of saw it.
Yeah.
But when I say luckily for me, my Ingrid, a lot of photographers that want to do fashion do not have a stylist that can call and say, yo, let's do a shoot. Next thing they'll be like, they'll be down. So I'll say I was lucky in that aspect of whereby like I have her that could be like, yo, I can just bully and say, I don't care if you have no money, we're doing this shoot.
Yeah.
Like, I'll put my money in the studio for you, get the clothes, just,
it's just
find your way. Well, I don't care how you're going to do it. And she'll just be like, whatever, I mean, I'm going to do it anyways.
Do you get?
Yeah. And we kind of have similar visions. She's my friend. Normal friendship stuff.
Yeah.
So she kind of, we have similar like visions as well.
You have synergy.
Yeah, we have good synergy as well. Like we work, a lot of my shoots, I work with her. Like when it comes to magazines, if it's a job, I'm putting her on first. Like depends on what's going on.
Yeah.
So those, family. Yeah, it's kind of family. Yeah.
And then Cobbler as well, the other guy I mentioned, I met him. Now we're working together a lot. Yeah. So like that kind of like those two people, all the people that I met as well, like that black as well, just kind of like started becoming more of a thing.
Yeah.
And I started seeing other black, young black creatives in the Sydney community that you just follow me or show love. And then as I started knowing more people that not white. And
so you kind of gradually built a community for yourself?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And are they all migrants or first gen, or you don't really know?
I was looking at like my exhibition, the people that came through, right?
Yeah.
There's a lot of people of color.
Okay.
Yeah. What I was looking at that day was busy. I didn't really see nothing.
Yeah.
But looking back at it, there's a lot of people of color. There's a lot of people that were not black as well.
Oh yeah.
That showed love. But at the time, also another thing I did free game, but
I like it.
Was like when I was doing Instagram, right? Because I didn't know my Instagram, but like now I want to make a new page, which is photography. What I did at the time was like I made sure I posted memes to get people attention.
Oh, okay.
So like that was now I don't do that anymore because I feel like people.
But it's like, oh, should we try that for our page?
People, I'm open.
I feel like people are looking. I don't know. I've been thinking about it as well. Like, should I just go back to real me and just be myself?
Yeah.
But sometimes you're like, this might be the director looking at a page. You want to like unprofessional.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. That's another competition for another
day. Yeah.
But at the time, I used to post stuff, and I'm loud on social media. I'm loud in person. I don't talk if I don't know you. But social media, I'll post all these things.
I think I even loud here.
But like if I don't know, like
I'm not teasing you, bro.
Just like, you know, just post on social media.
Yeah.
And I realized like a lot of people just want to see photos.
Yeah.
They want to like be engaged.
Yeah.
So I kind of like kept them engaged through the memes and that, all that stuff. Wow. And like when I was showing photography at the same time. So that was what I kind of think worked for me. To an extent, some people just be like, oh, I like you, but I'm like, okay, thank you. Like, that's what I did. That's can't work for everybody, but that's what I did.
Yeah, I've really enjoyed listening to Amid, and his story is very fascinating. But on our way here, he was telling me something more, you know, even as much fascinating as the story about the photography and the artistry to me, about how he moved here. I think it would be, you know, be good for the audience to know the background and how you moved to Australia.
See the smile on his face, like, nigga, you exposed me.
Yeah, juicy about
him. It's very interesting. Okay. It's very interesting. So, how he moved to Australia?
It's too much.
Why? This is what we're here for.
Yeah.
Sometimes I don't tell people about that part.
Well, you don't.
Oh, you don't tell people. All right.
I think whatever you're comfortable with.
I don't
share,
like saying
right?
it, but like, I don't put that.
Out there. So
people just asking too much questions. I don't want to answer.
So our podcast is about migrants moving here. So that's why you can see we're coming from a migrant standpoint.
I'll give you guys.
So it's like,
it's a very interesting.
If you're not comfortable
to
talk about it, that's
not,
okay.
I'm comfortable talking about it, but like when it comes to like this, I don't. If you know me, I'll tell you. People around me know. How I came here.
Yeah.
But like, just on social media, on the podcast, I don't talk about it. I don't want people to ask me too many questions about it. Just did it. But pretty much like. I did not move from Nigeria to Australia. I moved from Vietnam. I used to live in Vietnam before.
Okay.
And I moved there. I like lived there for 2 years and I moved to Australia.
That's the long story short.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah,
so you don't want to go into details.
I love Vietnam. Amazing. Yeah. I was telling him about it. Amazing place. But
I guess Kenny likes that because Kenny used to live in China.
It's not just about that. It's not anything.
But just like sometimes the reason why I don't talk about it too much is like people just gonna go dip into it, why Vietnam, but you guys will get it because Nigeria, you know, Nigeria, I was like,
getting out.
I was just like, after my dad, like, please,
I'm out of this bitch, bro, get me out of here.
Just, like, my parents didn't even know where Vietnam was,
They didn't know where Vietnam was,
bro. Nobody knew, but I remember the first time I was getting back home, I met this American guy at the airport and I was like, wait, what are Nigerians doing there? I'm like, bro.
I think Nigerians are everywhere.
Yeah. So like,
that's the same question I ask people. Like, one of my friends told me he was moving to Vietnam to work, and I was like, "What the hell are you doing there?" I've been to Vietnam, but I couldn't see the reason why you would move from Nigeria.
But there's people that are there.
Pathway,
that like,
is it?
A lot of people do pathways.
Yeah, pathway.
I know someone at the time. He's probably has a different passport, like a different nationality now.
Yeah.
Probably bought another one, but he was perfectly fine financially, family wise, he's okay.
Yeah.
So there's people that have been there when I got there in 2017, people that have been there 7 years before.
Jeez.
Yeah, that they have like kids, they speak Vietnamese fluently. Those things, the people that are there, they have a life. They have restaurants, they have businesses.
Yeah.
So those are the things that, yeah. But This is what I said about Vietnam. We're gonna keep going into that. But
Sorry.
I just needed, you know, you to give that backstory.
A little more context. Yeah.
But that's good. And you live in Sydney now.
I live in Sydney now.
It was swearing about how Sydney is the best place in sliced bread.
Oh my goodness.
Sydney is the most beautiful city in Australia. Nobody can argue that. Yeah.
No,
most beautiful city in Australia.
I can, but I don't want to get into that.
Okay, so
right
I
now.
Think this is how I see Sydney. I see Sydney and Melbourne as sisters. Yeah, no. That one sister that is pretty, right, but doesn't have good attitude. And Melbourne is that other sister that is not so pretty with good attitude. That's how I choose to look at Sydney.
Sydney's a lot prettier.
But now, what do you see you go like first?
Yeah,
now.
But attitude is what matters for me anyway. Oh, so I feel like Sydney has
And I feel, you know what's funny, yeah? It depends on how much money you have as well. You live in Sydney, you can tell
it's way prettier. Like, there's so much more.
You know what, next time you come to Sydney,
I agree.
Catch a train that goes like from Central to like Northern Sydney. You see our bridge at 7 p.m.?
No. Come it's on. A beautiful city.
I'm saying
it's a beautiful city. Yeah, but like, I think generally we all say that character a lot, and like I experienced it personally, and I mean I put it a lot on my Instagram then, how like people just don't really want to build new relationships in
that's
in Sydney. They don't want to. They don't want to. Like if they've got their circle, they stick to it.
Yeah. I'm probably starting to be like that now.
Yeah, exactly. You can't help yourself.
It's been tough because, like, for example, right, what I'm gonna say is, like, for example, me and Ingrid have built something together, right? We couple out and these people I walk around with. I still work with other people, but sometimes I'm not gonna lie, realistically, if there's a campaign that comes right now, I'm putting Ingrid's name first. I'm sorry.
Which
Why?
Is fair.
Why?
Which is
because
fair.
She's been there and I would not work.
So,
with
like,
her.
If you're that person who is not Ingrid, you might then feel like you're just being excluded.
You've been excluded.
So, there's that exclusivity
but,
in
but
Sydney.
But I've seen people that have come to me that. I meet them like because I had this TikTok that went viral one time about like where the black people in Sydney. I think I'll show you the TikTok after.
So yeah.
Anytime people come to Sydney, I don't know. I think people just see that TikTok first.
Yeah. Oh really?
I'll show you the TikTok. Where the black people, that's funny. I think like anytime that people come to Sydney, people hear me up and say, oh, sorry. People will be like, this is the one. Like that one. So like,
I feel like I've seen it, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, everybody like people just hit me up and say like, people say like stuff like, I just arrived in Sydney, myself the same question. Mm-hmm. People just DM me about this TikTok like,
wow.
Still as a like to December last year, people still DM me about it.
Yeah,
and like so, this one. Like it just kind of went like, went a bit viral. So
okay.
Like people have hit me up.
Yeah.
I'll just be like, yo, I know what's I know where it takes you to.
I found my way.
What
you
I just told them is, just one Afrobeat event.
Yeah.
You meet everybody.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, but there's a lot of Afrobeat events in Sydney.
I need
though.
The plug for someone who is just coming into Australia, and Sydney happens. Unfortunately, they have to be in Sydney.
Very unfortunate.
How do you think they can first, like, especially someone with such good creative background?
What
or,
does this person do?
What would you advise would be the first thing that they should do as they land, or the first few months that they should put into consideration when they land?
Once they land, that's tough.
Like first few months, not.
It depends on your personality as well. Enjoy, play by yourself. But once you settle down, if you have any family members, that'd be amazing. Yeah. If you don't have, like, someone like me, I have no family members here. I have like only one friend that was here before me and he left already. So, like,
he left Sydney,
he left Australia.
Oh, okay, but he left Sydney first.
He has to leave Sydney.
No.
I'm just pulling your legs.
He moved back to Nigeria.
He was in Nigeria for a minute. I moved back to Italy.
So he's a prostitute, yeah?
This nigga!
But that's the truth. That's
I'm just fucking around, man.
Yeah, but we lived in Vietnam together.
Yeah.
He
moved to Australia before me, and then after uni, went back to Nigeria. Then
sweet.
Now he's in Europe again.
Well, what would a black person do?
What would a black person
do? Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say, try to find one black person.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So I was going to say try to meet Ingrid, because you talk so much about Ingrid right now. I feel like I need to meet Ingrid.
Ingrid would set you up.
Ingrid set me up, nigga. Like, I feel like I need to meet Ingrid.
Shout out to Ingrid. I'll tell you about Ingrid later.
We'll shout Ingrid out on the pod.
Yeah, definitely. I think we need to get Ingrid on the pod as well. Please do.
What's it called? But I'll say, if you meet one black person,
yeah,
hopefully you meet the one that's also
the right one. Yeah.
And just ask them to take you one to one event. Yeah. And once you go to one event,
you meet everyone.
One thing about Sydney people, right? They also want to talk to you.
Because they are just as lonely.
Yeah, they probably have like a...
I swear. Yeah,
realistically.
They are just as lonely.
One of the girls that came from the UK that DM'd me on TikTok for that TikTok, right?
Yeah.
I took her to one event. I don't know if she wants me to say this, but I took her to one event. Yeah. And then she met one of my friends, another in a relationship.
Oh, nice. You can say that.
Like, do you get it?
That's your path to heaven, bro. You can do whatever you want to on earth now. You're getting into heaven.
I don't feel that way in Sydney, though. Like, every time I've been to Sydney, it was always good. Like,
because you go with people, one.
Yeah, I think it's fair.
But she was from the UK, just like you know, those work holiday visa?
Yeah.
She's still here now.
Oh, wow.
That's fair.
Ofi Okogba visa.
don't say that, but somebody said something I don't want to translate, so I'll keep it moving.
Anyone, she has them vibes.
Yeah, he has them vibes. So you're just we're vibing, bro. That's okay, bro. We're vibing.
I'm just fucking around.
I feel like after, I'm not going to credit, whatever.
Yeah.
After they met me, I'm not like gonna take it and say, oh yeah, but once you go outside, I'll just say it's my friend.
We outside.
My friends, blah blah blah. And then people get to vibe and pick their own friends from there.
Mm. Yeah.
And I think Sydney people say we are clicky, it's true. But if you generally say hi to somebody and you say, oh, let's catch up. This is other thing I did for myself as well.
Yeah.
If I see anybody on social media that I fuck with, I just say, oh, let's
catch up for coffee. Yeah.
Once I catch up for coffee with you, I can kind of gauge where the friendship is going to be.
Yeah.
And that's how I can know. Like, I don't have a lot of friends, but that's how I know
people you're going
to. And then some people you don't even hang out with them all the time, but you know, that's my homie.
That's my, that's my guy.
They're there for you too.
Yeah.
And I have some friends that catch up with me like once in 6 months.
Yeah. Oh, shit.
And they live like 20 minutes.
Do you call 10 that minutes. Friendship though?
Yeah. Because
here we go again. We go again.
Because we had a whole episode about our friendship. I had thoughts around like people you don't see often.
Yeah.
They're still friends or acquaintances.
They're still friends to me because, like, first of all, everyone has a bills to pay in Sydney.
Yeah.
Number two, they have their own friends that they hang out with, the same way I hang out with Ingrid again.
Yeah. Oh my goodness.
Ingrid
needs to be on the podcast now. Ingrid, if you're listening, please, we want you.
She's Rwandese. Rwandese.
Yeah. Ingrid, please, we want you. I have a bone to pick with Rwandese, but no, Ingrid, please. just come in, bro.
I met her as well, right? Because she knows a lot of people in Sydney.
Oh, yeah?
She was too young. So she's just like, used to go all the time.
Yes.
Yeah.
So she
kind of
like, so at the time, the surgery was like, yeah, Ingrid, you can do all the talking. I'm just going to create.
I was going to chill, man.
Yeah, so you can just like.
I'll be the Don Jazzy.
Yeah, pretty much like that. That was the business plan. Like,
yeah.
You pretty much, you can jap it outside wherever you are.
Yeah.
People don't need to know my face, but you can be the face of all of that. I can do the admin life, like emails and stuff. But she can like.
Yeah,
all that stuff. So you kind of with a good partnership that we have going on.
Hi everyone, thank you very much for joining us on this episode. We've decided to cut the episode into two different episodes. Please join us next week for the concluding part of our amazing chat with Hamid. Thank you very much. See ya.